Do you remember some of the places you played out in Colorado?
We played Denver, the House of Draft. We played Tulagi's in Boulder. We played the West Bank in
Breckenridge.
Yeah. Did we play in Evergreen at all? I don't think so.
We were there for several months, better part of a year. And for the first period that we were there, we lived in Breckenridge. We went back home for a week. Then we went back out and lived in a place. We found a manager out there, and he lived in Evergreen. So when we went back, we rented a house in Evergreen. I think we played in one sort of a tavern in Evergreen, I seem to recall.
Were the crowds different in Colorado compared to the crowds you played for in Minnesota?
I don't know. I mean, I never really sensed, let's put it this way, if they liked us anywhere, they were all the same. If there was a crowd that didn't like us, that was the same wherever you were. They seemed to like us. So.
I'd have to say that Colorado was much mellower. The music had a harder edge in Minneapolis.
Now, you're playing all original songs, right?
Mostly.
Well,
we played a few covers.
It depends. We varied from gig to gig wherever we were.
Yeah, when we were at Duff's, we played almost a lot of covers.
Right.
And we used some of those covers in Colorado, but we were always an original music band.
Well, we had enough of a repertoire to fit to order whatever the gig was. If we played a Coffeehouse Extempore or any kind of a concert situation, or Shaughnessy Auditorium, whatever, we would do all originals. If we played at Duff's, as Barry says, or even in Colorado, there'd be certain gigs at a bar where you play an awful lot of covers. And then the more rarefied the audience, the more concert-ish the audience was, the more we'd lean toward the originals.
How long did the band stay in Colorado?
January to spring, Easter. We were back here by late spring or early summer, maybe?
Yeah, I'd say about 6-7 months at the most.
Okay, so you're back here in 74. I understand you played a concert for a series of concerts broadcast on KQRS called Cookin' at Cookhouse. Does that ring a bell?
Oh, yeah. We did that. We played, once we got back, we played other gigs before that. But that was, I think we'd already officially, I shouldn't say officially, we'd between ourselves had broken up, but then got back together and we kept it quiet because we wanted to do that radio concert. Is that right?
Sounds good.
And your last job looks like it was at Duff's in January 1975.
Yeah, we did a house band thing, but that time, that was really a coming back together.
Yeah, we'd broken up by then.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that was your last official job, right, as the batch, mm-hmm, was January 75.
Yep.
How long did you... Oh, that was a month. That was a month job.
Well, it was part of a month. I don't recall if it was the entire month. I don't think it was.
Okay.
But it was a bunch of consecutive nights in January.
Looking back on the batch, do you have a favorite song the band recorded? Any one song stick out in particular?
Yeah, my favorite recording of the batch is a song called Pretending, which was one that Lou Futterman had sort of commissioned us to do on the demo that we made for him. And I just love doing it, and I love the way it sounds, and I love the song. There's a line that Barry wrote, as a child there was forever, as a man I'm still a child. That's just the story of my life, you know. So anytime you can identify with a lyric that you hear, that really resonates with you, you know. I love that song. But they were great writers.
What's the line about talking with God?
I will talk till God knows when. I'm talking to God, and I'll talk till God knows when.
But there's a line before that. I'll sit and talk with God.
God will be my closest friend. We'll sit and talk till God knows when.
Yeah, right.
That's a good
There's
line.
Great lines in story, man. These guys had it all. I mean, they were and just great, great songwriters.
So years later, there are some CDs that come out. One is called Transistor, came out in 2008. What's that CD all about?
It's about our youth. And it's a decision was made that there's an interest in these kinds of things and that we wanted to document. And the interesting thing was the time was right for it. There's a huge interest all over the world in Minnesota music. Nobody knows that better than you, Tom. So we thought, well, let's find a piece of that and see if there's a place for us.
Now, those were all demo tracks, right?
They were less than demo tracks. They were like practices in some cases. And just to see what we sound like. There's two of them on here, See the Time Go and Plastic Happy World, that are literally rehearsals that were just recorded, they were overheard by a microphone. Everything else, at least on the disc, was geared towards the recordings that were being made. The last four songs on the disc are the demos that we took to California, Barry and I. The rest of them are us learning how to be a band.
And my notes state that these were recorded either by Arnie on a two-track Panasonic reel-to-reel player or by Gary Pollock on a four-track Teac 3340.
Yes, those last four songs that we took to California are on that Teac. Everything else is on the little plastic Panasonic tape recorder that lit itself on fire internally right before I traded it in on a four-track. I didn't tell the fella at the store that it had burst into flames inside, or I would have blown my trade in.
So the year after that comes out, 2009, we have an album by The Batch called Wait Till Tomorrow. What's the story on this album?
This gentleman in Greece just got a hold of me through email, and he wanted to put out the more psychedelic stuff of The Batch. So
from this early period.
From the Transistor album. So communicating through email, he put out this album on his record label, Anazatizi Records, out of Greece.
Now, I noticed it shows the band playing live on the back cover. Do you have any idea where that is?
That's a Kaufman Union.
Yep.
Any idea of the year?
1968.
Yeah. Yes. And in fact, you see, it's representative of a transitional period when we were moving away from the Candy Floss puddle period under Candy Floss's direction. You can see that some of us, myself and Gary, are still in our puddle. Pepsi Pop Hop outfits, whereas Whip, Barry, and Jay are dressed.
Have expanded our wardrobe.
Yes. So it was a transition.
After this, the same year, 2009, we have The Batch, Blue Sky Day, The Lost Music of Mid-America, Volume 2. 1970 to 1973. Why don't you talk about that a little bit?
This is the core of this disc, is our 1973 album. Everything that we had completed, with maybe the exception of one song, is on here. And Dale Menton was involved in the issue of this. He's sort of the executive producer at the time as well. It also has the demos, most of the demos we did for Lou Futterman, both the live ones and the studio ones. It has all four of the Sound 80 tracks that we did under Dale's direction and with his participation. It has our single, Golden Sun, Hot Summer Nights. It has the record that we did with Dale, is Dale Menton and Batch, called Hold Me Now. So it's a wide variety of things. The main difference is everything that you hear, with the exception of the Futterman tracks, were meant to be heard by the public. They were studio performances that we had hoped would be released.
Okay, so pretty much everything The Batch has recorded now has been put out or not?
No, there's tons of stuff that didn't make the cut for these discs.
Yeah, we've got another album's worth of material. So.
From Mike's side? Or a cookhouse? Or
I'd say yeah. So, yeah.
And demos and radio performances. We've got lots of stuff there. Yeah, as Barry says, there's at least another album's worth of good stuff.
Does anybody have a recording of the Cooking at Cookhouse broadcast?
Oh, yeah, we have that.
Jumping back to 1995, something kind of unusual happens with the former band members of The Batch.
Yeah, we got back together as the Ironweeds, and it turned out to be four of The Batch members plus a new drummer, Scott Homan. And we were basically a house band at a place called Classic Motor Company on Excelsior Boulevard. And we decided to record some songs and we put out just a cassette tape of songs.
So
as the Ironweeds.
This came out in 1997 and was recorded at Gary Pollock's home studio, correct?
Right.
And how long did the Ironweeds last?
Well, Gary and I had started the Ironweeds in 1991, and we lasted until about 1999.
I had 95 as getting together. Is that wrong?
Well, it's...
Yeah.
At first...
It was 91.
95 is when I told you 95... That was, you had asked me, when did we actually first start playing? But before it was essentially, you know, Batch Revisited, it was a group that consisted of Barry and Gary and Connie Olson, right? A singer in the Twin Cities who has a, you know, pretty long history here as well.
So when did the Ironweeds come to an end?
Our last gig was at the Five Corners in 1999.
1999?
Mm-hmm.
The Five Corners?
Right.
Is it down by Cedar?
Yes. It's now called the Nomad.
Okay.
There was a slow turnover when it was first the band with Connie to becoming the Batch minus the original drummer. That took 3 years, 4 years.
Yeah, and we had quite a few drummers, too.
And before we finally found Scott, there was quite a turnover there. And we had...
Bass players. Jay had left town again.
Yeah, and we had a fellow named Brian Wilson. Of course, not...
Not from the Beach
Boys. The other Brian Wilson. Very good bass player, nice guy.
So, here we are in 2016. What are you guys up to these days?
I'm being interviewed by Mini Paul Music.
We're still making music. We work together on occasional projects. But we, you know, Barry's having a major revival because of this tremendous success with Misty Flats. And I work in broadcasting and sing around town in various places and manage a singer in New York who's doing very well named Nancy Harms. And we're having fun and getting very, very old.
So if somebody came along with a time machine and said you two guys can go back and relive 1966... to 1975 again. You going to go?
That's a deep question, man. I
very
don't know.
Deep. It's very deep.
I don't know.
I thought of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I would do it again, except we would go to California. We would not go to California.
You would not go to Colorado.
We would not choose Colorado. We would choose California or maybe New York. All I know is I believed in the band, and we didn't. We had some bad breaks, but we also didn't give ourselves the full shot that we should have. That's my feeling.
I would go back and be less of a Democrat.
And be more of a what?
Dictator.
It's kind of funny that you wouldn't go to California for the record label, but you would go to Denver for the bass player's girlfriend.
The irony.
Arnie Fogel and Barry Goldberg, thank you for stopping by Sunrise Sound today and sharing with us the story of your time in The Batch and the other related bands.
A pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks, Tom.
The preceding interview was recorded on April 17th, 2016 at Sunrise Sound in Rogers, Minnesota, and was produced by Denny Johnson and Tom Campbell. The copyright owner of this interview is MiniPaulMusic.com.
How much longer can I write the song of a lonely man whose feet down? How much longer can I live this life with so much pain without a change? Take my hand and lay me down upon a bed of golden sun. Take me far from the city's haze. It's time for me to make the change. How much longer can I take this ride? The ups and downs, I lose. change is made, I'll be alright with the golden sun, my guiding light. Take my hand and lay me down upon the bed of gold.